Well, we are in week two of Philemon. I really enjoyed last week. We spent the first week on the first 11 verses of Philemon. And the series is called A Clean Break. And I want to say a little bit why, because if you missed last week, I want to make sure you know why it's called A Clean Break. As I said last week, oftentimes when I think of a clean break, I think of a broken bone. And mainly because of all the bones I've had broken and all the surgeries I've had, that's kind of what I think of. A clean break isn't necessarily a medical term, but it's something you want to describe a broken bone if you're going to have one, because at least both sides it's clean. It'll heal a little bit easier. You're not going to worry about having to have the bone reset. And I loved your reaction last week when I talked about a compound fracture. You couldn't have walked into that any better than if you weren't here last week. You have to watch the message on Facebook, but you guys walked right into that one. I love it. Sometimes we also think of a clean break as a clean break up. Maybe you're in a romantic relationship and you decide, look, you're just going to be friends and it's a clean break. But other times a clean break is that you just decide you're going to break it with someone. You're done. You're not going to be in that relationship anymore. It's a clean break. You're done. Or you've had somebody do that to you. You don't know why it's happened. And that's when it can be difficult. But it's called clean break because sometimes when we're wronged, we can want a clean break when that person hurts us. But Paul is turning it on its head and saying, we need to make a clean break with our rightness. We need to make a clean break with conflict, with your contention, and realize how much our faith has to do with the relationships that we have around us. So let's make sure you turn your Bibles to Philemon. It's right after the book of Titus. All right. So be sure to check that out. If you have the app this morning, either an Android or iPhone, you can look it up there. The sermon notes are there. If you go to More and then Events, we are right there in the YouVersion app as well. So last week I asked you to write a name of a person at the top of your page that you needed to forgive. Now I want to ask you something. What did you do with that? Did you actually go and talk to that individual? Did you do anything as a result of hearing God's word last week? Or did you write a name or initials at the top of your page, get out of the service, and totally forget about it? See, it's one of the reasons we're talking about the fullness of fellowship today is that if all you're getting is Sunday morning stuff, it's not enough for you to actually grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. You have to be in fellowship. You have to be in community with people. It can't just be a Sunday morning, listen to me speak for 30, 40 minutes, and then expect that you're going to grow. Because honestly, most of us probably walked out of here and didn't even think again about the name on that page. Maybe once or twice. I hope some of us did something. But forgiveness is so connected to our faith. We must forgive as we've been forgiven. Now today I put another blank at the beginning of your notes. And I have a different reason for this one. It's for another name. But this one is maybe you've lost contact with someone. It's even more so of a name of maybe someone that you could learn from. See, when we talk about fellowship, and when we look at Philemon, every single one of us needs a Paul in our life. Every single one of us needs a Paul to Philemon, us being Philemon. We need somebody in our lives that is going to help us grow in Christ. I would venture to say the majority of us in this room probably don't have somebody that will call us on our junk out of love so that we can push toward Jesus further. Because that's the last relationship we really want sometimes. But it's a relationship we need. And so I don't know if you have a name popped into your head right now, but I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to think about that. Who might you seek out to be your Paul speaking into your life? And then we'll get to that name a little bit later in the sermon. All right, so I'm going to give you a minute. I'll let you think about that for a minute. Think about who that might be. A little bit harder question than last week, I think. All right. You keep thinking about it, but not too much because I'm going to keep on in the message. All right. Now, again, just in case you missed last week, I want to go over a brief overview of Philemon. All right. The book of Philemon is actually written to Philemon from Paul. Philemon was he was basically a master of slaves. And as I talked a little bit last week, and I'm not going to go as deep into it as I did last week, but slavery had some of what we know of in our culture of like owning people. But it was also a type of way of paying debts that possibly you owed someone else. Some people would get sold into slavery. Some slaves had families. Some didn't. It just depended upon the master. So it was a wide range of things. Some even earned a salary with what they were doing. But some of it was very, very brutal as well. Just as brutal as we think, and even more. All right. But Philemon also was a follower of Christ, as we see all through the book of Philemon. Paul's talking about his faith. But he also had a church that met at his house. So at very minimum, he was a leader in this church. He might have been the leader of the church. So it was written to Philemon. It was written to Apphia, which is Paul's sister, but sister in Jesus Christ, he says here. We think, commentators believe that was Philemon's wife. And then Archippus, our fellow soldier. When he says fellow soldier, that is consistent with like another person in leadership of the church. He could have very well been the pastor of the church. We don't know. But he was at least a leader of the church. And then it was written to the entire church. And last week we talked a little bit about why would Paul write a letter so personal in nature to be intended to go to the entire church? Well, one of the biggest things we talked about last week is that sometimes we need somebody up in our faces helping us understand what we need to do and helping us move forward. In the church, we tend to see somebody struggling and we go, oh, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to upset somebody. We are called to get into each other's lives. This whole idea of do not judge, it's do not condemn. We're not supposed to condemn one another. We don't get to be the judge and bring down punishment as if I'm better than you. But we are called to look at one another's lives and determine whether or not it matches up with Scripture. And if we actually love someone, we're going to go and talk to them about it because we love them too much to stay silent and see their lives get destroyed. That's what the church is supposed to be about. And we're going to talk about the fullness of fellowship even more today. But the topic of this letter was Onesimus. He was a slave of Philemon who must have stolen something to at least get to Rome to meet Paul, because he didn't have any money otherwise, and he ran away. When a slave ran away, it was bad news for the slave. Cultural norm would have been to whip him, beat him, even kill him. That would have been cultural norm. And so Paul is writing Philemon saying, hey, Onesimus met me, and he's now your brother. And I'm going to ask you to forgive him. We're going to go into that more today. The first point today, we're going to start in verse 6, actually. We're going to go back to verse 6. And it's the koinonia of community. Ooh, koinonia, bringing up a Greek word. Sounds all smart or whatever. Koinonia basically just means fellowship. It's what fellowship really is. So I want to go back to verse 6, and let's read that real quick. Paul is saying, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So this was a verse that talked kind of had a dual meaning. That talked about sharing our faith with other people and having a shared faith together. And I asked Jerry Stauffer to come and share a little bit this morning. Because first of all, here we are with our True Life cards. Last week, I gave you the challenge again. How many of you were going to give out one card to somebody this week? How many of you gave out one card? Raise a hand, please. All right. That's about 2% of the people that raised their hands last week. My friends, I'm not going to let this up. Every month, you're going to get this question. And the following week, you're going to get asked that question. We've got to get to a point where we're sharing our faith. We have to. Jerry, why don't you come on up? Talk a little bit about your experience in handing out some of these TrueLife.org cards. Jerry came to me yesterday. I asked him a little while back. He told me he's been handing out cards. And he's like, you want me to do what? And then yesterday he goes, all right, I'll say something if you want me to. So here he is. And he's just going to talk a little bit about his experience.
Thank you. Mary and I have been coming to church around 15 years. And under Pastor Denny, and even more so under Pastor Josh, it's been emphasized to me that I need to be sharing my faith. And going up to someone and confronting them about their spiritual stand scares the bejeebers out of me.
Who else does this scare the bejeebers out of? All right, so we're all together.
Now, if they were going to ask me how to become a Christian or what a Christian believes, I'm good with that. Okay. When Josh came out with these little cards, I thought, this is probably something I can do. Still a little scary. So far, I am 20 out of 20.
Whew.
I've had one person I handed this to at a gas station. He and I were pumping gas on opposite sides of the island. And he gave back to me and said, I attend such and such a church. I'm an elder there. So our goal is not to steal from other churches. Our goal is to steal from Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
So looking right for new people. So he gave back to me, no problem. Of the other 20 people I've handed these to, and that's approximately 20, almost all of them have said thank you. Now, my plan is I put my name in this little white spot here, my first name, with my phone number. When I hand it to them, I basically say, this is for you. It's an invitation to our church. My name and phone number on the back. If you have any questions, give me a call. That's where I end. Now, a number of people have said to me, where's your church? God has granted us a big knowledge of our church right now. Everybody in Oakland County knows where our church is. Just tell them it's the big brown building on the Baldwin Road construction, and they all know what you're talking about. So we're 20 out of 20. People say thank you. My primary way of doing this is on Thursday mornings. Thursday morning is garage sailing. So when I keep this in my wallet, and I take up my wallet to buy something at a garage sale, I hand them this card also and give them a little spiel. God has chosen us for some reason to be the ones to spread his kingdom. He could have done all these other ways, but he chose to use people. So, Dave, if you put that verse up for me. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Our job is to be faithful. Now, of the 20 cards I've handed out, how many of those people have come to church here? To my knowledge, none. That's not my goal. I'm not a bulldozer to drag people into church. I'm not the Holy Spirit to work in their lives and prompt their souls to consider this thing. But 2, 5, 10 years down the road, when something traumatic happens in our lives and they're saying, where can I go for help? I'm hoping to think back, oh yeah, there was that church. I talked to that guy one time. And perhaps they'll come visit us here. So I don't know what your experience has been. Mine have been 100% positive. If you hand out a few of these, come tell me how it went for you. But so far, I'd say so good, and I've enjoyed the experience.
Amen. See, Jerry, I told you you could preach. So let's just pray. We're done. No, I mean, I'm amazed. I too, am amazed at how people are thankful. I mean, you might get somebody who's like, I'm going to just blast you. But for the most part, you're showing you care about somebody. And that's rare. That's rare in our culture because we don't want to catch eyes and we want to look the other way. And, you know, so, yeah, take a card. Have them available. Sometimes that's our issue is that we don't have them available. We forget to grab them. Grab every single one in your whole row. I don't care. We'll refill them. We've got more. All right. We can give you a stack at the information desk, too. But we need to be sharing our faith. And this is one way we can begin doing it where it's a little less intimidating. All right. If anybody has questions, please let me know. But we're going to keep doing this every single month and just to get thrown out the challenge. All right. But we also know that Paul talked in that verse in Philemon 6. That it's about a shared faith. Koinonia is about a shared fellowship, the fellowship of believers. What exactly is fellowship? We love to throw that. We had great fellowship. We have a fellowship hall. I guess that's the only place we can talk to one another, which is in the fellowship hall. Right? I mean, that's definitely the place where we have potlucks. That's fellowship, right? Potluck equals fellowship. So really, I don't like fellowship. That's what I'm saying. But we like center it around, and our culture, you know, and even in their culture, sharing a meal was coming together. Fellowship is an overused word. Just because you spoke with somebody about the Tigers or your sump pump or whatever you're going to talk about, does not mean you had fellowship. It means you had a talk. Fellowship is about a community. It's joining two other people. It's not just this conversation thing. It's not just having a meal. It's being in community. And I want to talk specifically about some things. We had a community group leader training yesterday here at the church for all of our community group leaders. And we talked a lot about what community should look like within the context of the church and specifically in our community groups. And it definitely defines what fellowship is all about. And I want to share that with you this morning. So what community really is, first of all, we need to be loving one another. We've got to care intentionally for each other. We love one another. John 13:34, 1 Peter 4:8, and Ephesians 4:15 talk about that. If you want the passage, the scripture references afterward, I can give them to you or email them to you so you can study it yourself if you'd like. But here's the idea. We need to be earnest in love at all times. Not just passive, but be earnest in loving one another. We need to be willing to speak the truth in love. We all have a problem doing that. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, but we need to be able to speak the truth in love. We listen to understand. We don't assume and we don't accuse. We listen to people to understand. And we pray for one another with compassion when we're truly caring for one another intentionally. We also need to forgive one another. We need to forgive one another. We have to pursue unity. We pursue unity. Ephesians 4:31-32, 1 Corinthians 1:10, Matthew 18:15-20. We need to be quick to forgive. Don't hang on to that thing. Be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. And quick to ask for forgiveness. When you find out you've offended someone, go to them and say, I heard that, man, I hurt you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Or if you did and you need to apologize for your attitude, then apologize for your attitude. An apology costs you hardly anything, but it can bring the healing of a relationship. It's a big deal. Let personal offenses roll off your back to God in prayer. Let them roll off your back. And if it's too hard to let it roll off your back, take it to God in prayer. Complain to Him, not to your neighbor. Let personal offenses not do that to you, not take you to a place of gossip. Model unity by resolving conflict quickly. Resolve it quickly. Don't let it fester. How many times have probably every single one of us in this room gone to bed on our anger? When the Bible specifically says to not let the sun go down on our wrath. It means to get it right, to make it right. And then get the whole story, including both sides in personal conflict. Don't just think that your story is the only story because you're right and you just are right. And yet that's how we handle things a lot of times. Serve one another. Minister actively. Serve one another. This is Galatians 5:13, Exodus 17:11-12, Proverbs 19:20, 1 Corinthians 12:21-26. Be intentional in blessing other people. We talked yesterday about setting aside time, making margin in our lives, specifically so we can minister to people. If we get to relax during that time and God doesn't have ministry for us that week, that's great. But if we don't make time for ministry, you won't serve Christ. If you don't set that aside of time, if we're doing anything right with our money and our budgeting, we set money aside to be able to give. We plan for it. You've got to do the same thing with your time. You've got to do the same thing with your time. We have to budget our time so that we can serve one another and serve people outside of the church. Be flexible to meet situational needs. Stay teachable and show deference to other people. Think of them as highly than yourself, right? As higher than yourself. Paul tells us that. Maximize your strengths and recognize your constraints. Don't do something that you aren't talented in. If you can't drywall, don't volunteer. I can't drywall. All you have to do is go look at our old house that we used to own, and I've got all kinds of seams that look like this. They're concave. If you can't drywall, don't do it. But if you can paint, do it. Know your strengths. Recognize your constraints. Be committed to the whole, not just the part. Not just the people that you like. Be committed to the body of Christ. Because that's what Jesus was. This is a hard one. But I have to say it. Submit to one another. Esteem others highly. Submit to one another. This is Ephesians 5:21, 1 Peter 5:5, Philippians, got Philemon in the brain, Philippians 2:3-4, and Matthew 7:3-5. Be the first to lead in humility and honor. Be the first to honor someone else for what they've done. Be the first to lead in humility. Seek others' interests before your own. Check your motives and your expectations before you talk. Wow. Check your motives before you open your mouth. James tells us that the tongue is like a fire. And if we can't contain our tongue, then our lives are not being controlled either. Know your limits and respect the boundaries of others. That's an interesting one. Respect the boundaries of other people. Then encourage one another. Cultivate redemptive relationships. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Romans 1:12, and Ephesians 4:29. Be a safe person to get real with. Be a safe person to get real with. Man, every single person on the face of this planet has the desire to be fully known and fully loved, even after they're fully known. But we're all so afraid. I've said it for 4 years. We've got to get our masks off. We've got to stop acting like people we're not and keeping everything hidden. Over the last year, I've had the opportunity to meet with some different individuals that came in to my office and just was struggling with some deep stuff. I can't wait for you to hear their testimony someday when they're ready to share what God has done in their lives. But if they hadn't come and asked for help, they might be done today. We have to get our masks off to be able to move forward, to be able to move past our junk. We've got to be real. And I've said before, you don't share with everybody, but you got to share with somebody. And that's the role of community groups at GCC. We've got to go deeper. That's a goal for our leaders this year, is to take us deeper in transparency and realness so that we can love on one another even more. I found this, and this isn't true to every person, but I found that when I've been more honest about myself, it hasn't caused people to recoil from me. It's caused people to come closer. Because all of a sudden, maybe there's something all of a sudden that they share. We're all walk around thinking we're the only one that deals with our junk. Fellowship is being real with one another and being a safe place. Seek to build up always and never tear down. Compliment another person's character when it comes to mind more than once. Value the person more than the performance. It's hard in our culture. Value the person more than the performance. Point to Christ for hope and for help. You're not going to have every answer. Some people are going to come to you and be real, and they're going to be really real. You're going to go, wow. Love them. Find the answer. You don't have to have all the answers. But just love them and say, you know what? I don't have an answer, but man, I'm sorry that's happening. Can I pray for you? And then let me, and then you go to whatever resource you have. And then be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. Commit wholeheartedly. Romans 12, 5-10, Proverbs 17:17, and Proverbs 13:3. Be there in hard times. When it hits the fan, get there. Go and help people. Seek reconciliation between others. If you see that there's a problem in a relationship, you be a part of the solution. If you've had both people come and talk to you about the other, say, look, I'm done with this. I'm going to call both of you and we're going to go to coffee and we're going to talk it out. You have that authority. Now, maybe they won't do it, but you have to at least try. We have to pursue unity. We got to go after this. Commit wholeheartedly to it. Guard your relationships with truth and love. And go gently if correction is needed. There is no wonder Paul talked about a shared faith, helping you become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. It's no wonder he talked about a shared faith. That's how we learn who Jesus is. That's how people outside the church that don't know Jesus find out who Jesus is. I'm going to flip over a couple pages to Romans 12. If you want to turn there, you can. But even more about community here. In verse 5, He says we're one body. Though we're many, we're one body in Christ. We're members of one another. We have different gifts. Jump down to verse 9. He says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's that idea again. A couple years ago, we studied Romans, and it's like you get to a door, and I'm like, after you. No, after you. No, after you. No, after you. We should be fighting about who gets to go last. Not first. We should be fighting about who gets to serve each other rather than who gets to be served. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Man, how many times do we walk around thinking we've got it figured out? I have to tell you, my friend, if you think you have it figured out, you just jumped into pride. And the Bible tells us that God has now positioned Himself against you. We don't have it figured out. We've got to stay humble so God can lift us up. Repay no one evil for evil. Live peaceably at all as far as it depends on you. I mean, he goes into this idea of fellowship. I would encourage you to study Romans 12, 5 to 21 if you really want to look at what fellowship really is. This is our goal. This is our goal. So that's koinonia, the fellowship of community. We're not just a group of people that gather because we believe similarly. We are a strong community, a family that is bound to Christ, bound to life in Christ. And if all we're doing is coming together because we believe the same, we are missing it. That is a fail in the body of Christ. That's why we push community groups. That's why we say get involved in one. Because you can't be involved in the life of the church if you're not spending time with people in the church outside of Sunday morning. It would be like coming, seeing this huge spread of food. And it all looks great, but all you're going to do is take a couple pieces of lettuce and maybe a piece or two of bread, and then you leave. You are missing the core of the meal if all you do is come on Sunday morning. I get that we're busy. I get that we're busy. I also believe that our busyness is a tool of the enemy to keep us from God and what He has for us. We've got to look at our schedules. You, whether you realize it or not, you dictate your schedule. Yes, we have work and some of those things, but there's a lot of things we choose to. We have to consider that. As followers of Jesus, we are equal and we share the gift of God's grace together. And that's the basis for what Paul's about to ask Philemon. So let's go back to Philemon and go to point two. Forgiveness brings freedom. Forgiveness brings freedom. Let's read from verses 12 to 16, which say this. I am sending him, Onesimus, back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So Paul is now requesting that Philemon not only forgive Onesimus, but to free him from slavery. And just like any parent in this room doesn't like it when somebody else tells you how to be a parent to your children, any master would not have taken kindly to someone telling them how to deal with their household. And yet this is what Paul is doing. Philemon's culture had conditioned him to view slaves as less than full persons. And he would have, like I said, he would have been expected to exact revenge on Philemon. They could receive anything from a flogging to a branding, being sold to work on a farm, to being sold to work in the galleys or mines, crucifixion, thrown to wild beasts in the arena. He might have also had to wear a collar engraved with a statement, "Catch me, for I have fled from my master." There's all kinds of things that he could have done, that he's supposedly expected to do. And see, forgiveness wasn't the norm for Philemon's culture. But it's foundational for Jesus' followers. Forgiveness wasn't the norm for Philemon's culture, but it's foundational for Jesus followers. Paul would have loved to have kept Onesimus with him because he was close to him. I mean, listen to what he says. He says, I send you my heart. I send you my heart. It's a big statement. But he wants to defer to the fact that Onesimus was Philemon's slave. He was deferring to Philemon. He wasn't going to take that from him. But he also wants Philemon to see the hand of God in this whole situation. When you hear him say, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. Not just as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. The reality for Paul is he wasn't sure what Philemon was going to do. Philemon had every right to do what he wanted to do. Now, how Paul spoke in the letter seems to indicate that Paul had a good idea of what Philemon would do. Onesimus ultimately owed Philemon a debt. And it wouldn't have been an easy decision for Philemon. Paul doesn't bluntly ask. He kind of just says what he believes he should do. I mean, Philemon's reputation would have also been at stake here. Totally at stake. People would have thought that it would be absurd. And there's a couple things that could happen. It would seriously diminish Philemon's reputation, but it would also have a negative impact on the other slaves in his household. If he forgave one of this, are they all going to go run away only to go? See what I mean? People could actually, these slaves could go to Paul, say they accepted Christ, and try to do the same thing. This is a very hairy situation that Philemon and Onesimus is in. And for Philemon to do what Paul's asking, he's got to really trust God. This isn't just some simple task that Paul's asking him to do. But forgiveness brought freedom. And it did for Philemon. It did for Philemon as well, but for Onesimus too. Because he was a slave and he was set, and it seems like he was set free. We don't know for sure, but it sure seems that happened. And if I set Philemon free from all the stuff he was dealing with too in this whole process, from his own anger and frustration, and he added a brother to his life. Finally, this morning, you got to lead with love. You got to lead with love. Paul now leads with love. I want to read the rest of the book here, starting in verse 17. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Think about that for a minute. Onesimus is walking down the road with his letter. Philemon's got to be ticked, right? Wouldn't think he could just walk back. He reads this letter and Paul says, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. How would Philemon have received Paul based on his letter? What do you think? Open arms. Potluck! Right? It would have been a party to receive Paul. And he says, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, wow, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. So Paul was dictating this up till now. I will repay it. And then I think this is a little elbow to the side of Philemon. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. He's saying, look, I know your heart, Philemon. We know each other. We know each other. And I'll repay whatever he's taken from you. But this guy is your brother in the Lord. He's so much more than he was when he left. Accept him back. I know it's hard. And in today's vernacular, Paul's kind of saying, I owe you one. I owe you one. But they've got this relationship together. Goes on, 21. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. So he says, I really believe he kind of says, I'm confident that you're going to do what I'm asked, the right thing here. But you know what, Philemon? I believe so much in you that I think you're going to do even more than what's right. I think I know you well enough, and I know you know your Savior well enough. I know you know what you've been forgiven. I know you're going to do more. And by the way, get the room ready, because I'm coming, right? I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see how you've reconnected. Philemon and Onesimus. Can't wait to see that. Paul led with love in how he dealt with Onesimus and with how he dealt with Philemon. He could have commanded this forgiveness, but he valued Philemon more than that. He knew him and he wanted him to grow in his walk with the Lord. So Philemon and Paul experienced true fellowship with one another. They were iron sharpening iron. And back to that name this morning. I don't know about you, but this kind of community is attractive to me because I want that in my life. I want that for our church. I don't want to... I can't share specifics. I often can't. But over the past year, I have seen more former students and former adults, they're still adults, before they were connected to me in ministry, their lives blow up. I told Jeannie about a week ago, and this has it sounds like a prideful statement, but you'll know the context. I'm tired of being right. I'm tired of talking to people and being in a relationship and saying, I'm concerned for you. This is where you're headed. This is what's going to happen. Don't go this way. And then when they just don't listen, and then their lives are in shambles and they are maybe not even caring about Jesus anymore. And it breaks my heart. And if it breaks my heart, it breaks God's heart even more. And you want to know why that happens? It's because we get out of community with fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Every single one. It's because they're out of fellowship with other believers and they're out of fellowship with their Savior. They don't have a Paul in their life to steer them back anymore. They don't have somebody. Or if they do, it's family and, well, none of us listen to family. Right? Get a Paul. Seek it out. Seek that kind of fellowship. Because if you don't, who knows? I think it's even more sad when it's that little slip, that little drift. And we think we're highly spiritual and religious. Religion doesn't save you. A relationship with Jesus does. And your life looks different when you're in a relationship. You can live any way you want when all you have is religion. Because it's just a checklist. Paul knew that. And he wanted to see Paul, or he wanted to see Philemon move beyond a religiosity. So who's your Paul? Who will you seek out? Our bottom line this morning, true fellowship is marked by sacrifice, forgiveness, and love. See, Philemon would have to sacrifice in order to forgive. Onesimus would have to sacrifice to make things right with Philemon. Paul would have to sacrifice to pay back some of Onesimus' debt. And we are called to do the same. We are born into communities that influence how we live. Your family, your friends, clubs, neighborhoods, all help shape and form who you are today and continue to do so. The community shapes us and we reflect that upbringing. These communities tell you how to treat others, manage money, become successful, find love, all kinds of stuff. But when we become part of God's family, He gives us new commands and a countercultural ethic that puts all of that on its head. We now become of a new community that forms and shapes our lives. A new community that reflects Christ to the world. The story of Philemon isn't just about forgiveness, but about confronting ungodly norms that Christians are a part of and changing them. Slavery being one of them. The world says, this is how you treat someone under your authority, like a slave. It's all he deserves. But Jesus says, treat him like a brother. The world tells you that you have to lie and cheat to get ahead in business. But Jesus says, the truth will set you free, even though it might not make you rich. The world tells you to look out for yourself, but Jesus says to look out for the good for others. The world tells you to hold on to power at all costs and protect people who look like you. Jesus says to give your power away and serve your neighbor even if they're different from you. When Philemon welcomed Onesimus as a brother, he showed the world Jesus in community. That was the example. We are called to unity, to community, because it's how we grow. It's how we show Jesus to the world around us. One reason people hate the church is because they've been hurt by people in the church. And they don't see anything here that they can't get in the world. This type of community, this type of one anothering that we talked about, this type of relationship that's possible here, you can find nowhere else. Nowhere else. Because God made it that way. I believe God has given the message of reconciliation to the church. We have got to be more like the church that God wants us to be. So that we, because there is no plan B. God has chosen to work through His body, the church. I love the church. There's days, man, it'd be easy just to throw in the towel. But I can't, because God loves the church. And we are given the message of reconciliation. The words of Jesus in John 17 are so convicting. This is Jesus praying for us in the garden, starting in verse 20 to 23. He says this, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us. So we're that unified. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them." What? The glory that the Father gave to Jesus, He's given to us. "That they may be one, even as we are one." Man, are we ever that unified? Ever. Not just us, the church. "I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one." Why? "So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." It is by our unity that we show Jesus, and it is by our disunity that we show the world who He isn't. We have a community around us that desperately needs Jesus. If we start here at GCC, I want you to see what's around us. Saying by our unity, by whether or not we actually love each other, how we're forgiving each other. Because our unity is a testimony to Christ, or a testimony that we really don't believe what we say we believe. When we learn to sacrifice, forgive, and love well, when we love one another, forgive, serve, submit, encourage, and are devoted to one another, when we learn to love God and others, to grow together in community, to serve locally and globally, and repeat that process with people not only in the church, but people that are our neighbors, that are our friends, that are our co-workers. That's how we're different. That's what Paul called Philemon to. And I believe that's what God is calling us to be different. To have that kind of community, but it's going to take time, it's going to take effort, and it's going to take devotion. And I can't stress it enough, we're going to be starting community groups up in the fall again. And if you are not currently in a group, we at minimum are going to be having one new group, if not two new groups this fall, so that we can join and actually have small groups, not large groups that try to call themselves small groups. But it takes time, because, man, there's some nights I'm a leader of a group and I'm like, man, I don't want to have community group tonight. It's been a long day. But you do, well, I mean, what, you do the things you do because sometimes you do them because you know you're called to it. And I tell you, there's never a time that I regret going to community group. Get involved in the life of GCC, not just the, I don't know, the production of GCC on Sunday morning. There's so much, we want to be so much more than just Sunday morning. Get involved. Let's be a community that shows Jesus to those around us because of how unified we are. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with us. I believe God has some things in store for us in the coming year. We have to be ready. Let's go after Him together. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your word. And thank You for a little book like Philemon that we can so easily jump over. And yet when we really look at it, we see that there's so much there. And I feel like I've even just barely touched the surface. Lord, I want to, it sounds even weird saying this, God, that I would echo Jesus' prayer. But that, Lord, we would be unified. That we would be so unified just as You and Jesus were then and are today. God, that You've given us Your glory. God, that You have given us the message of reconciliation. Lord, I pray that we would take the challenge of just handing cards and inviting people to church and letting them know that we care about them would just begin to spread through our congregation, God. That we would view others as more important than ourselves, and that we would allow for a little bit of awkwardness to possibly see a soul change from death to life. God, help us to love well. Help us to be bold. God, if we're not currently in a community group, if we're kind of disconnected, God, I pray that we would make it a priority to be in one. God, that there would be a priority of time, that we would set aside some time to serve other people. God, help us with those one another's to love and forgive and be devoted and encourage and submit. God, none of these things are natural for us, but Your Spirit can do them in us and through us. And so, Lord, we just thank You for this time we've had. Make us one, Lord, so that people will know that Jesus is the Son of God and that they are loved by their Heavenly Father. God, use us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.